Hey, this is Ethan McNeil. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. Me and my brother-in-law, Trent Keith, sell real estate together here in Indiana. If you enjoy our podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave us a review and subscribe to our channel after you finish listening. Thanks.
Okay, here we are, back to answer more questions with real estate. I am Trent Keith with Keith Realty.
And I am Ethan McNeil with Keith Realty.
And what we're doing today is we are going to ask each other questions that we have been presented with in the past and answer them for you. So yes. Do you want to start or do you want me to start today?
I can start. Okay. So one of the questions that we have here is, can we see property right away or do we have to get a pre-approval letter first?
Okay, the answer to that question is you can see property right away, but it is best if you get a pre-approval letter ahead of time, because if it is a property that you're interested in and you decide you want to put an offer on that property, it is by far your best chance of getting the property if you have a pre-approval letter to go along with your offer.
Yep. And I have run into a couple times that, especially on the more expensive homes, that the sellers might say they don't want the house to be shown unless there's a pre-approval. But that is kind of a little bit more rare.
Yes, it is more rare. We do have clients that we've listed their homes for that say we really would prefer having a pre-approval letter before it is shown, simply because they do not want people going through the home who are not qualified to buy. They don't want just lookers walking through the home that's not going to buy a home. So that kind of narrows that down, and it is definitely something. If you're serious, it's not hard to get pre-approved. There's multiple options out there of banks, mortgage companies you can use, and they can usually do it in a day easy and tell you if you're pre-qualified and you have that letter and you're ready to go. So definitely that's the way to go. Get the pre-approval letter first. Not that you cannot see a house without it, but you're better off just to get it done up front. Okay, my first question for you is, who comes up with the selling price of a home?
Alrighty, well, answer to that question is you do, the seller. The realtor does not necessarily come up with the price. It's ultimately up to you. However, the realtor is there to give you comps, to give you their expert opinion, to give you advice as far as what they think you should list your home at. So definitely highly rely on them for that, but ultimately it's your decision. You can list your house for whatever price you'd like to list it for.
That's right. That's exactly right. Realtors are out here to help you sell your home. The key with that is they want to help you get it in a price range that it will sell quickly.
Yeah.
So if you do your own research and you decide what you want to sell it for and it's a little bit more than what the realtor said, then feel free to do that. But do not be upset with the realtor if it does not sell quickly. There may be things that you don't realize that your realtor already knows makes a little difference in price. So. It's your decision, but receive all the input you can get from your realtor to help you make that decision
wisely.
That's
right. That's just smart.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, my next question for you, Trent, is, can I close on a new house before my current house sells?
The answer to that is yes, you can close on a new house before your current house sells. The difference is there is more people in our area that actually need to close their home before they can buy the other home, just for financial reasons. They may not be able to pay the payments on both places. They may not be able to pay a down payment to close. There's a lot of variables that make a difference. So most people want to sell their home first, but you do not have to. If you're financially capable of doing that, then we can sell you three homes before you sell your
home.
It's totally up to you. But the financial side of that is what's most important. And if you're not sure, definitely talk to your banker or your mortgage company before you proceed to closing on a home when you have not sold your home.
Yeah, and another thing that we've done too in the past is if you need to sell your house, you've already found the one you like, sometimes we can get the you know, we can get it set up to where you close on your house in the morning and then you close on your new home in the afternoon. So in the same day you get, you've sold your house and you bought your new house. So, and that's obviously for those that have to sell their house, that's like a perfect case scenario for them if we can get it set up like that.
Yes, that's right. Okay, the next question I have is, what is escrow and how does the process go with that?
Okay, so an escrow account basically is just referring to an account that is held by maybe the realtor or the real estate office or the title company. And it is where they keep money and basically they're not going to touch that money. It's recorded, it's accounted for. They're sometimes even accountable to like the state board of accounts or something like that. So basically an escrow, you'll put your earnest money in escrow and that's held in that escrow account until the time to close. If you're wiring in money for a closing, that's going to be held by the title company in an escrow account. So basically an escrow is just a fancy name for a bank account that the company that has that escrow account is not going to touch the money in there until its intended purpose.
Yes, which is at closing, normally, is what that amounts to. It can be many different things, but at closing is when that comes through. One question we get with the escrow is an earnest money check. Mm-hmm. When does my earnest money check get cashed?
Yes.
Well, it gets cashed within 48 hours of the time of your offer and put into that escrow account. So
yes,
it will come out of your account within 48 business day or 48 hours of the work week.
Yes.
48 business workouts.
Yeah. Not 48 business days. That would be a little lot more.
It will come out of your account within 48 hours of the time that you have an accepted offer.
Yes.
But it's put in that escrow and then it comes out of the escrow account at closing.
Yes. Yeah. And a good rule of thumb is just make sure that when you write a check for an earnest money that you've got the funds available.
Yeah.
Because that could put you in a bind if you don't.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm going to ask another question before you go on to mine,
because
it kind of goes along with that. Can earnest money be cash?
Yes, it can be, but it is not our preferred method. And the reason is because we just like to have a paper trail. It's always smart to have a paper trail of where the money came from and what it's for. Again, it has to do with that escrow account where, as a real estate office, we're accountable for what goes in and what goes out of that escrow account. So it just makes it a little bit cleaner if it's not cash, if it's like a check or a cashier's check or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right, my question for you is, how much below asking price is okay to offer a seller?
That's a tough question. That's one thing we get a lot. We'll go show a home and people ask, what's okay to offer without making the seller upset?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really tough one. It depends on a lot of different things. One is, how much below the asking price are you talking? What is the original asking price? Are we talking about a $40,000 piece of property and you're wanting to offer 20? That would probably be a major issue.
Yes.
Or are we talking a $500,000 property and you're wanting to offer 480? That's probably not as big of a deal.
Right.
So there's a lot of variables there. The big key is having a realtor you trust that you can work through those things with.
Yeah.
Because a realtor that's on your side will sit down with you and go through what could happen and what are the options depending on what kind of a price you offer below asking.
Yes.
Remember, the realtors are out there to help you find a home.
Uh-huh.
And once they do that, then they get paid. Until they help you find a place, then they're not making anything. And so they want to help you buy the place that you want at the best price you can get and get the process moving.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it can depend on the area. If yep. you're in a high volume area where the homes move real fast,
yep.
you may not be able to offer much less than what they're asking. If yep. you're in an area where the home's set for 2 years, mm-hmm. then there's a chance you could offer yes. a lot less than what they're asking. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of variables, and I think that answer to that question comes down to working with a real estate yes. agent that you trust yep. on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Yep, I think so. And the thing with that is a lot of times it's where's the seller at? Because mm-hmm. sometimes just because you see a price on the house, a seller might not have any wiggle room, although a lot of them will build in, you know, we are asking $100,000, but we will take $90,000. You know, they've got a little $10,000 cushion. But some don't. They, that's right. they're maxed out. They've got a loan to pay. They've got, you know, bills or credit card debt or anything that's keeping them from being able to ask lower. Mm-hmm. And so you just never know. And sometimes the realtor that you're working with can actually kind of check with the seller's agent and kind of maybe feel out, you know, where is the seller on this? Are they needing full price? You know, are we going to offend them if we offer a little less? So,
mm-hmm. you know. The key is to let your agent know so they can let the other agent know that you're not trying to offend anyone. Mm-hmm. You just want to get the best deal yes. you can for what you can afford in yep. your budget, for yep. sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see, I got another one here. Okay. How soon should I let new buyers get possession of my house after closing?
Okay, this is on a case-by-case basis also. What I normally recommend is depending on if you have a place to go. If you already have a place to take all your possessions out of the home before closing that you're already planning on moving to, then sure, you can give them possession at closing, which is mm-hmm. what a lot of buyers would like, is to have uh-huh. possession the day they sign the papers. If you do not have a place to go, or if the place you're moving to is going to be 2 weeks out before you can move in, mm-hmm. then you have to think about that with your closing and give yourself enough time to move everything right. out. It's very common to say 30 days after closing before mm-hmm. you give the buyer's possession of your home. There is issues with that at times that arise. Mm-hmm. One would be if something breaks. Say yes. You included the refrigerator with the sale of your home.
Yeah.
And you stay there for 30 days and the refrigerator quits working. You're responsible for the refrigerator since you're the one living yes. there. So you've got to be careful how long you do stay after mm-hmm. you sell, because you're responsible for it to be in the same condition when you move out as it yep. was at closing. Uh-huh. So that's one thing to think about. But the thing that plays the biggest part of that is, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
Once you have to give up possession of your home, mm-hmm. you have to have a game plan.
Yes.
What would be your thoughts on that?
Well, one thing that we've run into that I've noticed is some realtors that maybe deal in a area where it's a little bit rougher maybe, or the neighborhoods maybe are the more renters or more renter oriented that don't care about the house. Mm-hmm. They don't want to wait 30 days after closing to get that house mm-hmm. for their client's sake, because they've seen renters trash the house before they leave 30 days after closing, and then there's just a headache trying to figure out who's responsible for what and how you're gonna repair the house and all that kind of stuff. So we've noticed that like realtors that deal a lot mostly like with rentals or something where the houses could get torn up after closing, they are very, very lenient as far as they don't want to let you go much fast the day of closing yep. for possession.
Yes.
And so you kind of just gotta know what your case is, and
yes.
and hopefully your realtors can work out something that's suitable for you and the buyer
yep.
or seller.
Okay, a question we run into a lot on those same lines would be, can I put an offer in on a house before mine has sold? So
yes.
what would be your answer to that?
Yes, you can. it's basically you're just putting a contingency on that house. So there's some different options that you can go, but the most used one is that you're basically saying, look, we'll buy your house, we're waiting on our house to sell, or we're waiting on it to close, or whatever it is that you're trying to figure out. And we want your house for this price, and we have the first right of refusal. And that's normally what the most common is. And what that means is the house is still on the market, but if somebody comes around and offers a price on offers on that house, the original buyer is going to have the first right to either figure out how he's going to, you know, swing both loans or whatever the case would be. He's going to have the first right to exercise his option on that property. So basically, you can make an offer on a house before you've sold yours. Not all sellers are going to love that, having a contingency on their property. But you can do it, and it can be done, and that kind of helps secure the property until you sell yours. It's not a guarantee still, because, you know, somebody might offer on the house and you might not be able to come up with the funds to buy it, but it gives you a little, it kind of puts your foot in the door for buying that.
Yes, that's exactly right. The one thing you do not have as much wiggle room with if you do that is negotiations, because normally if the seller is willing to give you first right contingency, they're not going to negotiate a lot on price, because they're kind of giving you a little bit of an advantage. So that's something you got to think about also with that. You also, if your house already has an accepted offer, you can write an offer that's a contingency on yours closing, which would be exactly what Ethan explained on an earlier question, is then you can close yours the same day that you close on the one you're buying. And that's very common also. So the one issue with these things at this point would be, we're in a seller's market, things are selling real fast. So if you do not have an accepted offer on your house, more than likely someone else that has a house that you like really will be leery on tying theirs up until you have an offer on your house. So it can work. There's options out there, but right now houses are moving really fast, and you want to be as prepared as possible, which would be get yours ready, get it on the market, get your pre-approval letter for a new one. All the steps that your realtor will walk you through to be prepared for whatever might come up.
And we have seen some close that were first right of refusal or something like that. But one thing to keep in mind if you're the seller and somebody offers you that is, and every MLS can be a little bit different, but in our MLS in Indiana, where we are, that property is going to go from active to active with a contingency. And all of the realtors see that and are they're a little bit more hesitant to show that property because they see that there's a contingency on it, that somebody's already in some sort of contract over it. Even though it's not technically sold yet, it goes on the system as it's contingent. And so you just got to know that if you accept something like that, you are possibly deterring potential buyers to your house just because of that little status update that it's going to go from active to active contingent.
So these are all reasons why when you pick your realtor, pick one that you're comfortable with and you work well with.
Well, I think that wraps everything up for this podcast. Feel free to send more questions like these to our email. It's questions@keithrealty.net. And if you send some questions to us, we'd be happy to answer them in our next podcast. You can also comment on this podcast or video or Facebook us or Instagram us or some other way of getting a hold of us. You feel free to send questions that way as well.
Well, it's good talking with everyone again. I'm Trent Keith with Keith Realty. If you have anyone in our area that would like help with real estate, please let us know.
That's right. And I'm Ethan, and we are signing out.
Thanks for listening. I hope you learned something new. If you have some of your own questions you'd like to ask us, then please send an email to questions@keithrealty.net. That's questions@keithrealty.net. And we'll see if we can't answer your questions on our next show. See you next time.